May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Tough times, burdened with guilt from our gospel lesson. If there was such a thing as a guilt meter that you could attach to people, I think there'd be some surprising results. Some people are very sensitive to guilt, and others not so much. Work righteous religions, Christian or non-Christian, are religions that infer that you're not going to be right with God unless you keep the commandments of God and the rules of that religion, whatever they may be. These are guilt-laden religions, and they produce guilt-laden people. So these people try to rid themselves of guilt by their performing, by their striving, by their achieving, by all the things that they do to attempt to please God. To atone, they don't fail to go to Mass or to the mosque. They need to read an extra chapter of Scripture. They extend their prayer time. All kinds of rituals and acts. I have just visited the country of France, and we went to many churches there, and you could see people doing certain rituals in order that they may be right and pleasing to God. I want to admit to you right from the outset of this message that I tend to be guilt prone. On the meter, I would be one that would show up, I think. I understand in my head the message of grace, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of full forgiveness and the love of God that we have in Jesus. But my problem, and probably like many of you, is that all too often I don't feel it. And I can be very self-critical. So I have a particular liking for this account in our gospel and a need for it, frankly. It begins with Jesus eating at the home of a self-righteous Pharisee when a guilt-laden woman anoints Jesus with perfume, costly perfume, is weeping, and then dries Jesus' feet with her hair. Now you might say, how could this have happened? Well, they ate in a courtyard many times, and if it was a rabbi, people could come in and out. It wasn't like our homes. There were no gated properties. She was a sinful woman. Most likely that meant she was a, what do you think? Prostitute, you'd be correct. Mm-hmm. Now, if we looked into this woman's heart, I don't think we would be so judgmental. Many prostitutes, even today, were abused as children, sexually abused as children. They have never had the opportunity to develop a wholesome sexuality because the crimes committed to them happened to them when they were not old enough to understand. In my only time of counseling with people who have were prostitutes, almost invariably, 100%, they were abused sexually as children. This woman had obviously not been hardened to this lifestyle. She felt guilt, she felt remorse, she yearned to be set free, to be away out from this profession. And she responds in two really great ways. Number one, she recognizes her need. And most important, number two, she came to Jesus. And he did something extraordinary for her life. But before we go there, let's take a look at Simon the Pharisee. Simon was smug. Simon was self-righteous. He really didn't need to feel any forgiveness from Jesus he probably would have said, forgiven for what? The forte of the Pharisees and many like him, even to this day, is an attitude of blaming, accusing, guilt-tripping, fault-finding, comparing, and boasting. We can be assured that this is the way Simon was. In his eyes, this woman was in no way pleasing to God, and it gave him the excuse to disdain her as well. But see how comfortable Jesus is with sinners, especially sinners of the flesh. And what do I mean by that? The obvious sins. You see account after account where Jesus is associating with them. He's much more comfortable with them than those who have those hidden sins, which I think are clearly more serious, led off by pride. Well, Jesus brings it to Simon, brings it all home by telling him that simple story. One man owed 500 denarii, another owed 50 denarii. Neither one could pay back the lender. The lender cancels both debts. And then Jesus looks at Simon and asks him that very pointed question. Who's going to love the lender more? And even a blinded Pharisee like Simon could answer this easily. It's going to be the one who was forgiven much. The point of the story is that the woman was forgiven the 500. And Simon the Pharisee was the 50 and therefore did not feel so much gratitude. Jesus says to the woman, your sins are forgiven. This is really significant. I should have acted this out. Suppose I hit one of you. Anybody want to come? Suppose I hit you. Let's see, who could I choose? And then a third party rushes up and forgives me. What would the victim do? What? Who alone can forgive sins? God. Because you see, all sin is against who? Against God. Therefore, what he is forgiving is everything that we do that's wrong is against God. He gets to forgive it. What was Jesus doing here when he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven? He was saying, I am God, and I forgive you. Well, now back to guilt. In David Seaman's wonderful book, Healing for Damaged Emotions, he describes a person that unfortunately fits us way too often. He writes this, and I'm going to read just a little bit of it. This person says, God's demands of me were so high, and his opinion of me was so low, that there was no way for me to live except under his frown. All day long he nagged me, why don't you pray more? Why don't you witness more? When will you ever learn self-discipline? How can you allow yourself to indulge in such wicked thoughts? Do this, don't do that. Yield, confess, work harder. God was always using his love against me. He showed me his nail-pierced hands, and then he would look at me glaringly and say, well, why aren't you a better Christian? Get busy and live the way you ought to. When it came down to it, there was scarcely a word or feeling or thought or a decision of mine that God really liked. I think this is pretty extreme, but do you resonate with this at all? That you haven't done enough, that you're displeasing to God. Someone in the earlier service said he was driving along and he saw a billboard with a finger pointed at, did you pray today? Jesus came and demonstrated by this story to dispel this false view of God. He does something wonderful in our lives. He liberates us from feelings of unworthiness and from the sin, yes, even of pride and self-righteousness. This is what God does. But we can see the footprints of Satan, can't we? Cleverly, Satan is all in this. He wants us to have self-condemnation and self-hatred. That is, to consume us with these things and therefore paralyze you. On the other hand, Satan shrewdly entices some to convince themselves they're so good, they're so righteous, so sinless, that is, compared to other people, that you have no need for forgiveness. And I find this to always be true. You can always find somebody worse than you. Look at that 500-pound person. I'm not so bad, even though I'm a little overweight, right? Or that person is always gossiping and all this. I never do such a thing. And therefore, we feel that we're better. This affects, either one of them affects our relationship with other people. The unaccepted are unaccepting. The unforgiven are unforgiving. And the ungraced are ungracious. And it all has to do with our alienation from God. Two kinds of traps, same result, alienated. I believe that the majority of people in the world have not understood the word grace, the grace of God. Grace is what God is, and grace is what God does. You know, grace is such a, well, I think it's the most important word in any language. And yet it's hard to describe. I've done, in my simplistic way, I call it God's undeserved love for us. Some have used the acrostic, God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And I think that's a great way to understand grace. But it is so much more. It needs to touch your emotions as well as your mind. It's God's smile upon us. It's what He did for this woman. Incredibly impactful. The woman knew she was desperate for it. Simon, on the other hand, didn't know how desperately he needed it. Grace is how God deals with everyone upon the face of this earth. You either receive it or reject it. Always. You cannot be right with God outside of grace. He's willing to give it to all. I have come to see in my own life that I need to deliberately focus on grace every day because of this self-condemnation that I know a lot of you feel as well. It's not just me, that comes upon me sometimes. I need to focus on grace, to believe it, to realize it, to live in it. And the best way I've found to do that is to thank God for it. Thank Him every day for the grace that He's given me, that He loves me. Yeah, that He believes in me. So to drive out guilt or to think that it is my works that make me pleasing to God, What an insult that would be to Jesus, who did it all. He did it all to make me acceptable and righteous before God. Plain and simple, we who flee to Jesus and to His grace are forgiven. He smiles upon us. This is one of my favorite stories. Maybe you've heard it from me before. I just love it, and it fits here so well as far as I'm concerned. And it may have some fact to it. It may not. I don't know. It's about a lady who was a Catholic, a good, devout Catholic lady. And she claimed to have apparitions, or she saw Jesus, and Jesus would talk to her. Well, her priest, because after all, there is a fine line between what is authentic and what is the lunatic fringe of people seeing, you know, God everywhere in a tortilla and all that sort of thing. And he was skeptical of her, of course. So one day they were talking, and the priest said to the woman, "I understand that you see Jesus and that he talks to you." And the woman said, humbly, "That's true. He does appear to me, and he has spoken to me." The priest, very skeptical, said, "I'll tell you what, next time Jesus comes to you and speaks to you, ask him this question. What sins did your priest commit at seminary?" The woman stepped back. She said, "Okay, I will." Flabbergasted, of course. Well, a couple of weeks went by. And then after a church service, the woman approached the priest and said, "Jesus appeared to me." The priest said to her, "Well, did you ask her my question? Ask him my question?" And the woman breathed in and looked at the priest and said, "I did." "Well, what did Jesus say?" "I will give you his exact words. Jesus said, 'I can't remember.'" Isn't that the grace of God? What does Jesus do with our sins? Erases them. "I can't remember." Two sinners were at Simon's house that day, and a dispenser of grace, Jesus himself. One was forgiven, the other was still marinating in his smugness. Not yet, not yet. I like to make endings to stories. Like stories in the scriptures, and maybe I shouldn't, but I think to myself that Simon finally got it. He finally understood. After all, he had Jesus there, and he heard the words of Jesus. I have to think that Simon and that woman will meet in heaven. I love the drama of that. Let Jesus' grace fall on you today, liberating you from guilt and pride. See Jesus smile on you. Thank him for his grace to you. Know his forgiveness. Feel his love, heart, mind, and soul. And know that he has come for you. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen. Amen. Please rise.